But Brother Dane reminded us, we're already 1/12 into the year. You imagine that? February is upon us. And, a lot of things, a lot of good intentions that we have, we need to follow through on them. Today, as I give you this message, I believe it's a message from the Lord. There's a couple of things I believe are true today. Already, I've spoken to several of you that just out of the blue came to me and said, God has answered these prayers for me just this week. Anybody have that? Can put you in? Okay. All right. As I was praying earlier today and yesterday, I just believe today the Spirit of the Lord is here to answer prayer today. That He is ready to answer our prayers. He is ready to hear us. We have an audience. So, during this time, we've had a tremendous time of worship in song today. Stephen said it very well just a moment ago. Surely the Lord is in this place today. He is here, He is present, and He's not silent. He wants to speak to your need, to where you are, to what's going on in your life. He cares about you. He cares. God has not forgotten about you. You may think your family has forgotten you about friends, all those that at last, no human entity can you depend on at last. Because even those with the best intentions can't follow through on saying, I will be with you. They intend to, but God can, and He will today. I want you to also, the prayer time, while the message is happening, but especially at the end today when we open the altar, for you to bring your prayers before the Lord. But you also want you to be thinking, the title of today's message is A Real Relationship, and God is going to bring to your mind people in your life that need the relationship that you have with the Lord. Now, maybe your relationship has been a little up and down, and maybe it needs a little adjustment right now. But there are many people in your life who virtually have no relationship with Him at all. And I'm praying today as I'm preaching this message, because I'm counting on the fact that this message isn't just for us chickens who happen to be in this room right now. That it's a message that'll go beyond. As we pray and we're asking God that He will unveil the people in your life. Because I guarantee you today, right now, you've got people in your life that are dying by inches. Third thing before we begin the message today. We're not the church of the down. Looking at the downer. We're the church that's looking up because our redemption is coming. Jesus is coming. And every day He's given us a down payment of that joy that we can walk in today. And here's my prayer, is that in our jobs and where we go, what we do, that we as a part of the body of Christ will just shine. It might be through kindness. It might be through a good word spoken. It might be refusing to take somebody's head off that deserves it. But that God will manifest Himself in your life with great joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's what Granny Lee used to say to me years ago. She was in one of my churches years ago. She'd say that all the time. Every time I knock on her door, she'd open the door and she'd say, joy unspeakable, full of glory. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. And that's what we need to be, that joy unspeakable, full of the glory of God, who's manifested in us. Now, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 28. We're going to talk about old Jacob, the heel snatcher, today. Jacob and Esau, sons of Isaac and Rebekah, twins. They weren't identical, though. And we're going to begin reading in verse 10, but let me tell you what's happened. All right, you got the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, Abraham and his family, he gets a word from the Lord, Genesis chapter 11, and they are taken away from Ur of the Chaldees, and they go up to Haran, and then Abraham, you know, the Lord says, get thee out of the country, and I'll show you where you're going. And he goes up the Fertile Crescent. We're down, you know, down in Ur, way down Persian Gulf. Now, let me do it this way. You're down here. Because y'all see these pictures, you see the Middle East on you know, every day on the news. They're showing these exploded pictures. They go up to Haran, which is probably somewhere up in the area where Turkey is today, and then down into the Promised Land, into was Israel. I refuse to call it Palestine, because it's not Palestine. It's Israel. And comes down there. And God does a great work in his life. All the experiences that Abram and Sarah had. Isaac comes, the son of promise. All their experiences. Now Jacob and Esau are born. Now Esau is the brother who is the ruddy, the hunter. He's favored by his daddy. His daddy likes him a lot. Jacob was born second. And when Esau is coming out of the womb, guess who's got a hold of his heel? Hanging on. Jacob. That's right. His name means heel snatcher. And in fact, we see that his mom, who favored him, dad likes Esau, mom likes Jacob. She figures out a way for Jacob to get the blessing from Daddy Isaac. Now, Isaac's getting old, his eyesight's going, and this is another story for another day, but just to let you know, generally what happens. Esau leaves to go out and get a meal to kill some fresh game for his dad. And while he's gone, Jacob and his mom, they prepare this meal. And he puts stuff on himself to make himself like his brother. And he comes in, presents the meal to his dad. And his dad, Isaac, says, you know, you sound like Jacob, but you feel and you smell like Esau. And so he eventually gives to Jacob the blessing. Jacob gets his blessing. Now, it's very serious that it happened that way because he got the blessing. Some would say he stole the blessing. Esau then comes in and he finds out what has happened? And Isaac says, oh no, I blessed it. Esau says, oh, wait, what are you saying? Can't you take it back? Can't you give it to me? No, it's already given. Jacob has to leave town. In fact, Isaac and, because Esau's very mad. He wants to kill him. And Isaac and Rebecca, mom and dad, decide it's a real good idea if he leaves town. And so he leaves. Now, Rebecca's not altogether, she's part of that too, because she really didn't want him to marry anybody around there, because she would then be displaced, because she's from up in that area. She wants him to go back up there where she came from to get a wife. Now, what's ahead of him is God's going to take him to school, because there's an uncle up there by the name of Laban. And when you hear the name Laban, you ought to groan a little bit. Because Laban has in store for him a special school where he's going to discipline him. He is going to go to Laban's school, and he may have thought he'd gotten away with something, but Laban is on a daily basis is going to be a reminder that God's in charge, and he's going to school him and discipline him. Now, that's after what we're going to read today. He's left town, though, and he's on the way. Are you following me so far? Are you in the story so far? Okay. Here we got it. Verse 10. Chapter 28, Genesis. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran. He's going north, kind of north, northeast. He came to a certain place, and he spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place, and he put it under his head, and he lay down in that place. Every word in this is important now. He had a dream. Behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Can you picture this? And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie. I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. Let me ask you, did that happen? You better believe it happened. More than our Western civilization history books give credit for, I'll hasten to add. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And at last, how would they be blessed? Because the Christ was coming through this line. Yeshua. Behold, verse 15, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Boy, this is great stuff. And will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Boy, what a word, what a promise. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Some of you have walked in here today, unsuspecting the Lord is in this place, and you didn't know it. You thought you were just going to church. You can't go to church. We are the church. God's presence is here. And he was afraid. Jacob was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? Now, I know you kiddos think you invented the word awesome. Here's the Hebrew rendering of it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than Bethel, the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Angels ascending, descending, back and forth on this ladder. So Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone he'd put under his head, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on its top. What does that mean? He's anointing the place. It's a special place. And he called the name of the place, House of God, Bethel, Beth, House of El, God. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take. Now, what had God already said he'd do? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to keep you and all. So he's saying, if that'll happen, well, If it's like, well, if Jesus comes back, he's coming back. You know. So there's no doubt about what's happening. If God will be with me, will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my Father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. Now, had God already promised him all of that? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take you back. So what he's done, he's just restated what God said. Then he'll be my God. This stone which I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. A tithe as an offering. Realizing all of it belonged to God, but God was letting him steward a little bit, and a reminder that all belongs to God is giving back that tenth unto him, which we teach here. Now, what do we get out of this story? We see that Jacob is a picture of the grace and the mercy of God. What should have really happened to Jacob? Burn him down! Catch him right at the knees. Bam! That's what he deserved. Oh, heel snatcher, liar, deceiver, all those things. God's grace and God's mercy. What do you deserve? Oh, wait a second. Wait a second before you move too quickly past that. What do you really deserve? We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We all have a great, great need. Here we see God's grace and God's mercy for him. Because God's mindful of what's taking place. I want you to see here, God didn't throw him out. Did he? Just because he screwed up, just because he messed it up, God didn't say, "Psh, I'm through with you." And that's a message that we need to hear, and the people in our lives need to hear today, don't they? That God is there. That he loves you. He's reaching out with his love. Hey, Jacob had a past, didn't he? Man, you look back in his life, he's a rascal. He is a rascal. There's no way getting around. He's belligerent. He's self-centered. He's a liar. He'll throw his own family under the bus for his own purposes. He had a past. Maybe you've been under a delusion that, boy, if you have a past, you can't come to Jesus. I want you to know his arms are open wide. Also see, Jacob realizes there's something spiritual about this blessing from his daddy. Now, Rebecca, I don't know, she's a subject for another day. His mama, we'll talk about her another day because she's in collusion with all of this, gets blinded by it, is still is used of the Lord. But can you see Jacob trying to take spiritual shortcuts? Spiritual, oh, there's a way, you know, I don't have to go through all that. You know, I can just go from first grade to 12th grade. I don't have to go through all that other stuff. Right? Right? My brother told me not long ago, I enjoyed studying when I was growing up, believe it or not. I liked it. I liked to learn. My brother was a hands-on guy and still is. But he told me the other day, he said, you know, Dust, when you were poring over the books there and learning some of those things, he said, and remember you told me that eventually I was going to have to learn some of that stuff? He said, I hate to tell you this. He said, but you were right. That's one brother to another, okay? That's a big statement. That's a big statement, he said. Because eventually, you've got to learn if you're going to move on. How many of us have been trying to take spiritual shortcuts? Oh, God. Yeah, I got two hands up. God, just give me the big blessing, and without the trust and the faith that goes through that in all the places that you want to take me, they'll make me appreciate what that big blessing is. See, we're asking for a blessing that even when we receive it, we won't understand it because we won't know where it came from and what God did to get us through that. You know, it's kind of like our kids when they're growing up. You know, they get three squares. They got a place to live and all. You know, they're fat, dumb, and happy. They don't realize what all had to go through for them to be there and to do what needs to be done for them to be there. But later on, when they have their own kids, what do they find out? It wasn't no shortcuts. Spiritually, there are no shortcuts. Jacob was always trying to take spiritual shortcuts. And Jacob had codependent people around him. His mama was facilitating him. She was codependent in his sin. She was contributing to the evil in his life. Now I'm telling you, you've got some people in your life that are contributing to the maladies in your life. And hey, it's time for us to cut it off. No shortcuts. No shortcuts. God also allows Jacob to think that he's gotten away with something. Whew. Man, I made it out of town. You know, just in the nick of time. I'm out of arrow range for Esau. He can't get to me now. I'm headed on an adventure. And what did I say to you earlier? What was the part of the adventure that was waiting on him way over here? There was old Laban, arms open wide, ready to use him and abuse him. He was about to go to school. He didn't know it. He just thought that he was a deceiver, that he was a great negotiator, that he had all these gifts. Man, Laban was about to take him to school. God comes to Jacob at a vulnerable time in his life. If there was a time you could point to from birth until now, it is now that he is most open to hear from the Lord. And he has this vision, this dream. Angels, there's this ladder that goes up to heaven, and angels ascending and descending. Do you see? Now I know there's all sorts of spiritualization that goes on with that passage, and you read 10 commentators and you get 10 different opinions. Let me give you the dusty opinion on that. What I see is a picture that God is involved in life. And He's involved in the everyday, and that God, that He comes right to where we are. And there's back and forth, angels ascending and descending. That there's relationship here. Now, you may think just because Jacob was a child, that his granddaddy was Abraham and his daddy was Isaac, that, oh, he had grown up on the spiritual lap of understanding. But no. This guy, he knows about Yahweh, but he doesn't know Him. He has no relationship. God speaks in this dream. And look at what He says. The Lord stood above it and He said, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh.
the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. And what did he do? He just repeated to him what he had told Abraham and what he had told Isaac. He is repeating that covenant, the fact that he's chosen. I've chosen you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Let me tell you today, Jesus has chosen to love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He's reached out to you. He has revealed himself, and that's what's happening in this dream. He's revealing himself. God speaks in this dream. God shows himself to Jacob. And he uses a power encounter to do it. He gets his attention through this miraculous dream that's taking place. How's God speaking to you right now? How's he speaking to the people in your life? God reveals his promise to Jacob. How many times do you reckon Jacob had heard that promise repeated since he had come into the world? How many times had he heard it again and again and again and again? He knew the promise. He knew it here. He just didn't know it here. The 18 inches had not been crossed. That divide of eternity had not been crossed yet. And God lets Jacob get a peek of who he could be in relationship with his Creator. Gives him a peek. This is who you can be. From time in the past, I've been planning this for you. More than you can ever imagine for yourself. The God of the universe, the God of his salvation, has now come to him personally. You got it? And what does Jacob do? Well, God says, "Behold, I'm with you. I'll keep you wherever you go. We'll bring you back to the land. I'll not leave you until I've done what I've promised you." All that took place. You can read the rest of Genesis and see it took place exactly as he spoke it. And even this promise of the Abrahamic covenant is being fulfilled right now in that land with his descendants. And when we see the descendant that came, the Christ Jesus, Yeshua, who came through this line, the God's promised people. Surely the Lord is in this place with the words he spoke when he awoke. The Lord is here. What happens? The heel snatcher, the deceiver, the liar, the trickster. Fill in the blank of whatever pejorative name you want to give to him. Now turns. You see, there's repentance. He turns. And he comes into agreement that it is God that has spoken to him and with what God has spoken to him. The person of God, the plan of God, the power of God. He's in agreement. He exercises his faith. And he receives what God offers personally to him. And then he celebrates it. He publicly celebrates it. What does he do? That stone that had been his pillow becomes the pillar as a reminder. He sets it up as, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, my rock This is Bethel. This is the house of God. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. But now I do. And my life is changed. My life is changed. You take it from this point, and you see how his life then turns around. His life does a 180 because he comes into a real relationship with the living God. He is alive. He is here. And this same God is offering to you this real relationship with Himself. He is unveiling. What will you say to Him? Will you say, yes? Or will you say, no? What will it be? Some of you right now, if the world were describing the circumstances of your life, would describe it as hell on earth. In fact, based on past experiences, that's how you would describe it. If things are going on, they're out of control, you don't know what to do about them. I'm telling you, He is here, and He is not silent. And He's revealing Himself. And He wants to come alongside you. And in fact, here's the truth of it. He's always been walking with you. Now He wants to come in to you. Had He been walking with Jacob? You bet. It's a miracle that He was born. It's a miracle that He was still alive. It's a miracle that He's out in this place. Miracle, 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 miracle. And now God's saying, come on, Jacob. Quit fighting me. Quit lying to yourself. You need me. Receive me. And he did. His life would never be the same. You read the rest of it. He becomes a different man. Oh, he has to grow some. Especially in Uncle Laban's school. He has some lessons to learn. But he's a different man from this point on. About you. How real is your relationship with the Lord today? Is it real? Or just playing around the edges? Are you afraid of what God might do? I'd be afraid of what might do without God. What prayer do you have to bring to Him today? He wants to come and be in real relationship with you. What can you bring to Him today? Your junk, your stuff, your problems, your questions. Why not bring it to Him today? Let's pray. Just a moment, we'll open the altar and invite you to come. Let the Lord speak to you today. This is the day you have made, Lord. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Stephen spoke it. He quoted you very well. And we quote you right now. You are here. You're not silent. All the stuff, Lord, we lay before your feet right now. All of it.
Lord, first of all, intercede for anyone who's here who maybe has known about God but has never known you, Jesus. This day, I'm asking you. They'd give up. Say, Lord, I'm tired of running from you. I want you today in my life. Lord, for us who've played around the edges, we've played around the edges with our commitments, about our time and our money, our relationships. We've just tried to tip you, God, with our lives. Lord, you're wanting to be the main course. Lord, I pray today, bring us in the right relationship with you. We can enjoy the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God alive in us, the very Spirit of Jesus. And Lord, for some of us so worried, so burdened by the junk of this life, Lord, how we're going to pay bills, condition of our job situation, our family situation and problems, relationships at work, Lord, dot, dot, dot. We lay it all before you today, Lord, and ask you to come. Come with the power of the Holy Spirit. Come and do your great work. God, I'm praying for a fresh anointing on us today. Anointing for this time in history, this time in our family history, in our city's history, in our nation's history, history of our world, to be the people of God. Lord, move in us now. We love you. The altar's open.